worldly, then other than the world, we will not receive if we receive it. If our attentions were for the hereafter, our actions will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beauty about this is that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your intention. No one else can really and truly understand the reality of the motive of this action or that action except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why He is the one that will punish and reward accordingly. And we have this saying that I want to finish off with from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. It's been frequently reported, the intention of the believer is better than their action, and the intention of a disbeliever is worse than their actions. And really, this keeps in mind to always have pure intention and to always have the intention to do good at any chance possible.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
In the limelight.
Russian tycoon says that dollar has 5 years left as dominant currency. Sanctioned businessman Oleg Deripaska says the greenback has been used as a weapon of retribution for way too long. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RT, the US dollar has only 5 years left as the principal currency for the global economy, according to Russian billionaire Oleg Deripaska. He claims the greenback superiority has for way too long been used as a weapon of vengeance against all dissenters, and often without prior legal evaluation. 7 years ago, the absolute dominance of the greenback in global settlements and financial transactions seemed unshakable. The founder of aluminum giant Rusal wrote in a Telegram post recently. Deripaska expects global settlements to become more diversified and for digital currencies to become more compatible. He said, "That will be hard at the beginning, but then the world will discover a new reality without a need for a hegemon." Recently, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen admitted that Washington's unilateral sanctions on countries around the world could undermine the hegemony of the dollar. However, a year ago, she claimed the opposite, saying that the greenback didn't have any serious competition and was not likely to for a long time. Earlier this month, Ivan Chebeskov, who leads the Financial Policy Department at Russia's Financial Ministry, said that interruptions and difficulties with international settlements became the most painful consequences of Western sanctions for the Russian financial system. He also highlighted that at the same time, the problem had inevitably triggered an increase in settlements in alternative currencies. In February, the Central Bank of Russia created a special department for handling issues arising in international settlements. The new body deals with the challenges that have become particularly relevant in the context of sanctions, such as the transition to settlements in national currencies. Deripaska is among many Russian businessmen sanctioned in the past year by the U.S., in response to Moscow's special operation in Ukraine. He was forced out as CEO of Rusal after Washington targeted the company's aluminum exports. He's worth $2.6 billion, according to Forbes. Meanwhile, Press TV noted U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has admitted that economic sanctions used against countries by the U.S. put the dollar's dominance at risk. As the United States has continued to weaponize the dollar, countries are seeking alternatives from creating new common currencies to using local currencies. Nations are trying to find a safe and equitable way to trade instead of being at the whims of a hegemony that can decide overnight to confiscate a country's money or cut it off from the international financial system. Russia launched its de-dollarization policy when the West slapped economic sanctions against the country. After Russia launched its special operation in eastern Ukraine in February 2022, the U.S. led a massive wave of financial sanctions against Moscow. Press TV noted the biggest moves were the decision by the West to freeze nearly half of Russia's foreign currency reserves and also the removal of major Russian banks from SWIFT, an interbank messaging service that facilitates international payments. The backdrop of the sanctions introduced by Western regimes against Russia, a major global energy producer and exporter, prompted China to decide to ditch the dollar in international trade as well. Bank of Russia records show that the Chinese yuan has become a major player in Russian foreign trade. India, a major importer of Russian energy, has also taken several steps towards shifting away from the greenback to rubles and rupees in mutual trade with Moscow.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, how to control our anger. In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, may his peace and blessings be upon Muhammad and his pure immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Salamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A to Z, IRB English Radio, Call of Islam page. I'm Farhad, your host, and I'm very honored to have you with me for this session. We're going to start our program today with a question, and that is that someone has asked, what would you suggest to cure my quick anger and emotion, which is called stress by psychologists? To answer this very important question, I would say that I am answering you with a full conviction that if you follow the answer, you will get the result. Otherwise, you will remain as you are. So the cure is a mixture of moral and practical matters. So you should follow the principles we have above us here.
So firstly, for controlling our anger, we need to recite the fact of submission to Allah so that your heart feels peaceful with the emotion of Allah the Almighty. And then you will see the things that provoke you simple and easy. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A2Z, IRB English Radio, Call of Islam page. And we are here together to talk about how to control our stress. So, for the first principle that we can study through Quran and Hadith is reciting submissions, reciting Quran, because it makes our heart in peace and we feel peaceful in our, and we feel peaceful, and it makes our heart live in ease. But the second principle that we can study from Quran and Hadith, that is always be legally pure, okay? So this is a very important condition to be. For example, if something has happened to us, we have to make ablution, we have to make wudu, we have to make ghusl. So we should always be legally pure. And thirdly, do not commit any sin, because committing sins will darken our heart. And when our heart gets darkened, we feel stress, we feel angry. And fourthly, we need to keep away from anything that provokes our nervous. And fifthly, always keep your tongue busy with the remembrance of Allah, and especially with the certain glorification like La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-ali al-azim, or at istighfar, that it means I pray to Allah to forgive me. Also, this kind of remembrance will make us feel peaceful and will put our heart in ease. Also, drink cold water whenever you provoked, and also you can pour some on your head and say salawat, and seventhly, go to an open place to breathe fresh air, to look at as far as you can, and at the end, be totally indifferent to the thing that causes your anger. Tell yourself that you are more precious than that, and so it does not behoove you to exhaust your power and harm yourself. I hope everyone a life full of peace and ease. Thank you for staying with us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
The United States and yet another example of racial discrimination. A video circulating on social media has showed a former U.S. Marine killing a mentally ill African-American homeless man by putting him in a chokehold on the New York City subway. The video shows a former Marine, identified as Daniel Penny, grabbing 30-year-old Jordan Neely around the neck while pinning him to the ground on a train in Manhattan. The medical examiner said Neely died from a compression of neck. The incident happened on May the 1st. Witnesses say the African-American man was loudly complaining about being hungry and saying he was ready to die. They say the victim showed no behavior that was threatening to the subway passengers. Penny 24 restrained him until the homeless man appeared to stop moving. Neely was taken to a hospital where he was later declared dead. Penny's lawyers said their client could not have known that his forceful actions, which were meant to subdue the mentally ill man, would lead to the victim's death. Penny, who had been questioned and released by police in New York on the day of the incident, later surrendered to police and was arraigned in Manhattan criminal court after prosecutors lodged criminal charges against him. Two other unidentified people who were also seen restraining Neely in the footage have yet to be charged. Neely's death sparked angry protests.
Justice for Jordan! Justice for Jordan! Justice for Jordan! Justice for Jordan! Justice for Jordan!
A system that has been meant to destroy us. A system that didn't want to see Jordan Neely alive. Right. Let me be very clear. It failed no one. It did exactly what it was designed to do.
The demonstrators called Neely's death an act of lynching, likening it to the murder of George Floyd by white officers in 2020. The killing of the African-American man also drew reactions from some U.S. officials. New York City Mayor Eric Adams called the incident a tragedy that never should have happened. He pledged to do more to help people experiencing mental health crisis. The latest incident of racial discrimination in the U.S. comes as brutality against black people is happening at record numbers. Just to make that evident, 21 African Americans were killed by U.S. law enforcement officers only in January 2023. That already makes the year one of the deadliest ever so far for the African American community in the U.S. That includes the tragic death of Keena Darnell Anderson, who was tased by police officers in Los Angeles following a car accident. Those are only a few recent incidents of brutality of racial discrimination against blacks. The United States has a long history of such bias against people of color. One major example was a brutal killing of a 46-year-old black man named George Floyd, who died after a white police officer pressed on his neck for more than 9 minutes during an arrest in May 2020 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The death of the handcuffed black man triggered months of widespread protests, not only in cities across the U.S., but also other parts of the world. Those incidents come as African Americans and other ethnic minorities are often subject to harsh discrimination and racial profiling by white supremacists in the United States. One reason could be that U.S. politicians not only have failed to bring an end to racial profiling against the people of color, but at times have fanned the flames of hatred against them. That could clearly be seen when former U.S. President Donald Trump was in office. The former president numerously emboldened white supremacists with his racist remarks during his tenure. U.S. President Joe Biden, who took the helm in 2021, claimed to be a critic of racial injustice, but he also failed to eradicate racial discrimination in the country. With many arguing that America was built on slavery, it is not erroneous to claim that racial profiling against African Americans and other people of color is deeply rooted in American culture. Maybe that's why it is too early to think that putting an end to prejudice and racism in the U.S. does not seem to be happening anytime soon.
Shock and desperation. Children traumatized. Mothers losing their children. Israel claims it is not targeting civilians, but the injured and the dead tell another story. Like dead Palestinian girl carried by her father. With over 100 wounded, how many times will Israel kill civilians like women and children, yet claim it is targeting resistance fighters and leaders? When is it enough?
Are you ready to say enough is enough? As the highest authority responsible for the maintenance of international peace and security,
As of Saturday, May 13, Israel has so far assassinated 6 Islamic Jihad leaders, and it has stated it is after more blood. The killing machine has no mercy. One bombing operation involved 40 aircrafts and drones, courtesy of the United States. The incessant sound of drones creates a constant state of terror, panic, and anxiety among the 2 million people living in the Gaza Strip. Al-Mizan, a human rights group based in Gaza, notes that between the years 2000 and 2023, at least 2,148 Palestinians, including 378 children and 86 women, were killed by Israeli drones. Nearly 350 were killed inside their homes, including more than 100 children, underscoring the reality that there is no safe place in Gaza. And these are conservative figures. Resistance groups in the Gaza Strip have not stood idle. Palestinian factions like the Islamic Jihad said they are united in their joint response. Resistance factions have been relentless in their rocket attacks. Many have reached as far as Tel Aviv, or close to it, like the town, which claimed the life of one Israeli, injuring 5 others. Israel getting a taste of its own medicine. As a matter of fact, the resistance group's firepower has overwhelmed Israel's so-called Iron Dome system. In one tally, more than 500 rockets were fired at Israel. Of these, 368 rockets made it over the border, and 154 were intercepted by the so-called Iron Dome missile defense system. Simple math shows that this dome had a 30% success rate. And Israel better be careful. Reports indicate it has so far only hit Islamic Jihad targets. Israel knows that Palestinian resistance groups are believed to be capable of firing thousands of rockets, which could quickly exhaust Israel's Iron Dome anti-missile system. On top of that, Israel is unable to sustain prolonged disruption to its civilian economy amid widespread fear and panic among its population. Israel is now at its weakest. Regionally, it is isolated more than ever. Iran and Saudi Arabia's reconciliation have solidified the axis of resistance, especially after Saudi Arabia hosted Hamas recently and is warming up to Hezbollah. And from within, Israel is unraveling due to the revolt by Israelis against the judicial reforms. Protests now in its 4th month. There's growing consensus that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu launched the assault on Gaza to appease his fractious, extreme coalition, particularly Itamar Ben-Gvir, in order to distract from the protests. Yet Netanyahu may be risking it all when the Tel Aviv skyline is filled with too many rockets that would rain down and eliminate its presence on Palestinian land. The U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen urged Congress to raise the $31.4 trillion debt limit and avert an unprecedented default, saying that a failure to do so would have dire consequences. Yellen's comments come after she warned of an economic catastrophe if the U.S. fails to raise its debt ceiling in the coming weeks. She has also previously warned that the U.S. could fail to meet its debt obligations sooner than expected, and it may run out of measures as early as June 1. Yellen issued the latest in a series of increasingly stark warnings in remarks prepared for a press conference being in Japan with her counterparts from the group of 7 G7 rich nations, as well as India, Indonesia, and Brazil. Yellen's comments came as a political stalemate over raising the debt limit was forcing the Treasury Department dangerously close to worst-case scenario, which is a potential U.S. debt default.
The notion of defaulting on our debt is something that would so badly undermine the U.S. and global economy that I think it should be regarded by everyone as unthinkable.
In order to avoid a default on the nation's debt, Congress must vote to either raise or suspend the debt limit before the Treasury runs out of emergency funding. But with only days left this month, time is running out to reach a deal. Democratic leaders are calling for the limit to be raised, but Republicans want spending cuts and other conditions to be agreed first. Last time this happened, the U.S. saw its credit rating downgraded and interest rates on its existing debt go up. Even if the nation avoids tumbling over the fiscal cliff, the U.S. economy could suffer.
They're doing the best, to the best of my knowledge, what no other political party has done in the nation's history. They're literally, not figuratively, holding the economy hostage by threatening to default on our nation's debt that we've already incurred.
The debt ceiling is the maximum amount the U.S. government is legally authorized to borrow to meet its obligations. Many investors are bracing for the economic fallout of the deadline for the U.S. to raise the debt ceiling or default on its obligations. The U.S. government has run a deficit averaging nearly $1 trillion every year since the year 2001, meaning that it spends that much more money than it receives in taxes and other revenues.
Congress has told Treasury, you should pay our bills, you should pay our debt. But at the same time, it's told it, you can't borrow anymore to pay those bills and debt. And at the same time, Congress has authorized all of the spending that's being done. So the spending's going out the door. The bills are showing up at Treasury, and Treasury isn't getting enough revenue from taxpayers to pay the bills. And so there's a lot of hand-wringing over what Treasury should do.
Even short of a default, hitting the debt ceiling would stop the government's ability to finance its operations, including providing for the national defense or funding entitlements such as Medicare or Social Security. The default could cause the loss of 3 million jobs, add $130,000 to the cost of an average 30-year mortgage, and raise interest rates enough to increase the national debt by $850 billion. Meanwhile, the recent turmoil in the banking industry have concerned investors. In early May, officials closed San Francisco-based First Republic Bank, making it the third U.S. bank to collapse in the past 2 months. Most of First Republic's assets are being acquired by J.P. Morgan, Silicon Valley Bank, and Signature Bank, whose clients were mostly from the tech industry, collapsed in March under similar circumstances. But they are not alone. The U.S. Federal Reserve has revealed that 722 banks reported unrealized losses exceeding 50% of their capital at the end of the third quarter of 2022. Those losses have occurred because banks bought lots of treasuries and bonds when interest rates were near zero. Now, as the Federal Reserve raises rates to combat inflation, the value of these bonds has declined.
Israel has kept pounding the Gaza Strip, targeting areas in the southern part of the besieged Palestinian territory. It came after the Israeli military conducted airstrikes against the Gaza Strip, assassinating senior Islamic Jihad officials.
The Israeli occupation committed a great crime and treacherous aggression against our people in the Gaza Strip by bombing residential areas and homes, which led to the killing of children and women and targeted the leaders of the resistance. Our people and the resistance know how to respond to this great crime and make the occupation pay the price for this aggression on the Gaza Strip.
Palestinian resistance groups in Gaza have fired rockets towards Israeli sites in retaliation for the regime's deadly air raids, hitting targets as far as Tel Aviv. Gaza's Joint Command of Palestinian Resistance Groups claimed responsibility for firing rockets at Israel, saying in a statement it had fired hundreds of rockets towards the occupied Palestinian territories, including Tel Aviv, in an operation codenamed Revenge of the Free. Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh has warned that Israel will pay the price for the killings. The Palestinian resistance group Lion's Den has warned the Tel Aviv regime of surprise and unprecedented retaliatory attacks after the assassination of high-profile resistance commanders in Israeli airstrikes. Iran, Lebanon, Egypt, Jordan, amongst many Muslim countries, and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or the OIC, condemned in separate statements the Israeli aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip. High-profile commanders of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance movement have been assassinated after Israeli military aircraft launched a series of targeted strikes on the Gaza Strip days after a fiery flare-up of violence set the besieged coastal area on edge. alongside the assassinations, military compounds and a military position belonging to the Islamic Jihad were targeted as well. The Islamic Jihad resistance commanders in the strikes include Khalil Bahitini, the commander of the Al-Quds Brigades in the northern Gaza Strip, Tariq Izzeddin, a spokesperson for the movement, and Jihad Al-Ghannam, secretary of the movement's military council. Bahitini was the most senior operational commander in the Islamic Jihad and was responsible for the rocket fire towards occupied territories in the past month. Izzeddin was responsible for the communications between the movement and its branches in the West Bank and for transferring funds and coordinating resistance active in the occupied lands. Ghannam was one of the most senior and veteran operatives in Islamic Jihad and served at one point as the commander of the Al-Quds Brigades in the southern Gaza Strip.
This enemy is a criminal entity ever since it was created on the land of Palestine. It assassinated leaders in their homes with their families and children. They did not assassinate them in the battlefield, not in the streets or cars. They assassinated them while they were with their children and killed their children and women along with them.
Meanwhile, Israeli troops have shot dead two young Palestinian men during a military raid in the occupied West Bank city of Kabatia, the latest in a year-long spike of violence that shows no sign of abating. The Israeli military said it conducted a raid in the early hours of Wednesday on Kabatia, situated 6 kilometers south of Jenin. The Palestinian Ministry of Health identified the victims as 19-year-old Ahmed Jamal Asif and 24-year-old Warani Walid Katanat. Another Palestinian was injured in the assault. Witnesses said a large number of Israeli forces raided Kabatia and broke into several homes in the western neighborhood of the West Bank city. They violently searched the buildings and ransacked all properties before leaving. The Israeli forces then closed the main streets in the town while laying siege to a number of houses. The regime has stepped up attacks across the occupied territories over the past months. More than 100 Palestinians have been killed in the occupied West Bank so far this year.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So here we are again, alhamdulillah, with brothers Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, Fawad Haider, and Ali Nasir, and I really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome. How are you, Hussein?
Wa alaikum salam, how are you, sir?
Alaikum salam, alhamdulillah. How are you, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Great. Fawad Haider?
Alhamdulillah, sir, how are you?
That's great, alhamdulillah. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir, how are you?
That's great. Welcome, welcome, and welcome. Inshallah, today we'll talk about Ayah 108 and Ayah 109 on pages 63 and 64 in Surah
Ali
Imran. So, brothers and sisters, please hold your Quran, turn to page 63 first, ayah 108, and then inshallah we'll go on to the page 64. Let's everybody listen once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وما الله يريد ظلما للعالمين ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإلى الله ترجع الأمور.
Amazing recitation. Allah bless the reciter, inshallah, inshallah ta'ala. So, we'll have a short explanation, the same as our previous sessions, and then we'll move on to the practical tajweed rules, inshallah. All right?
Yes.
So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Let me read once. Allah Almighty says in Ayah 108 of Surah Ali Imran, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وما الله يريد ظلما للعالمين or ظلما للعالمين. In Ayah 109, Allah Almighty says, ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإلى الله ترجع الأمور. So, listen. تلك, these are آيات الله. These are the signs of Allah, the symptoms from Allah Almighty. نتلوها عليك بالحق, which we recite to you in truth, O Prophet. وما الله يريد ظلما, and Allah Almighty does not desire any wrong, للعالمين, for the creatures, any ظلم, okay, any oppression. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, and for Allah Almighty is, or to Allah belongs, whatever is in the heavens, سَمَاوَاتِ, وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and whatever is in the earth. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ, and to Allah all matters are returned, right? The return is to Allah Almighty. So, three, four things I want to say, I want to mention. First thing, ayah. The word ayah means a sign, sign. A sign for something, okay?
Yeah.
Sign for something. Ayat is the plural form. One of the best ways that you can know Allah Almighty better, if you want to know Allah Almighty better, or even you want to improve your knowledge about Tawheed, your beliefs, okay, you strengthen your beliefs, is to look at the signs of Allah Almighty. One of the biggest, one of the most important signs of Allah Almighty is the Quran itself. The creation of the universe, the creation of ourselves, okay, human body. If you look at yourself, the system, the order, the harmony that you see inside your body, the way the systems, the organs, they work together, okay, to keep you alive, that's amazing. That system is amazing, okay? It really needs a designer. Without a designer, without a somebody, a creator, okay, a manager, it doesn't happen that way, right? This is one of the best ways that you can know Allah Almighty. You can at least prove that, yeah, of course, Allah Almighty exists. At least you can prove that you have a creator, right? If somebody does not believe in Allah the way we believe Muslims, okay, at least he can understand that God exists. And it means that the Big Bang is just a false opinion, okay? Yes. It's a false opinion that they have, that the world does not have a creator. It's something wrong. Naturally, our logic does not say this, that automatically the world got created, right?
Yes.
So ayah is the singular form, ayat is the plural form. Natluha alayka bilhaq. This book, the Quran, these things in the previous verses or the whole Quran, Allah Almighty says to the Prophet, Allah Almighty says, these are the ayat, the signs from Allah Almighty. Okay? Natluha alayka bilhaq. This is a truth. So whatever Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is a revelation from Allah Almighty. Yes? وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ, and Allah Almighty will never, okay, be oppressive to someone.
Yes.
So Allah Almighty is fair, he is just, okay, and he doesn't do any unfair things to the human body, the human, okay, beings. And in the next ayah, Allah Almighty says, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And it talks about Tawheed in Tawheeden in
Malikiyya.
In Malikiyya. Tawheed in Malikiyya. Right? Tawheed in ownership.
Yes.
That Allah Almighty owns every single thing we see in the world, in the universe. Right? So guys, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجِعُ الْأُمُورِ. And we all will go back. Right? So one of the Tawheed instances is this, that we have to believe in Tawheed in
Malikiyya,
in ownership of Allah Almighty. We have to believe in this. So, that's it. Even if we have things, it's just for some days. Yeah? That's it.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض
حياتي. How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Please refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for more information and details. Inshallah, you'll learn more, inshallah. Okay? That's all. Let's move on to the important tajweed rules we'll mention. Then we'll have a recitation all together. All right? Tilka ayatullahi natluha alayka bilhaq. So the first thing we have to mention is the Fawad, Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir, and all our brothers and sisters who are listening. You have to pay attention to the short vowels and long vowels. Do not change them. If it is ayat, if you say ayah, ayat, it changes the meaning, yes?
Yes.
Ayat, plural form. Ayah, short, singular form. And also, if you say tilka, instead you say tilka, it changes the meaning. It has another meaning, or it's wrong, right? Ayatullahi natluha. If you say natluha, it's again wrong. Natluha. Stretch the sound. Alayka bilhaq, right? Bilhaq. If you say it has another meaning.
Yes.
Alhaq. Malhaq. Wa ma adraka malhaq. It has another meaning. So bilhaq. Haq. Ha. Short vowel. So pay attention to this, okay? Sometimes we make really big mistakes if we do not pay attention. Next point is the heavy letters and light letters. The heavy sounds and light sounds. Hassan, Hussein, Hussein. How do you say? Ayatullah or ayatullah?
Ayatullah.
Yeah, good job. With that light sound. An a sound. Open your mouth to the left and right, right? Horizontally.
Yes.
Right? So, not ayatullah. 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 Right?
Yes.
So, and the letter lam in the word Allah is pronounced how? Heavily or lightly?
Heavily.
Heavily. Why?
Because there is zamma before.
A dhamma sound before. Okay. If you have a dhamma or a fatha right before the word Allah, the letter lam will be pronounced with a heavy sound. Law, law, full mouth. But if you have a kasra sound before,
lightly.
La bismillah. Yes?
Yes.
Hu Allah. They are different. So, natluha alayka bilhaq. Haq. When you stop here, qila. Qila tells you, Hassan, what?
You can stop here.
You can stop, but is it better or to continue or better stop? To stop.
Better to stop.
Better to stop. Okay. What's just right the opposite to this?
Sila.
Sila. Sila says it's better to? Sila. Wasl. Yeah, continue. Good job. Bilhaq. When you stop here, qalqala. Bounce the sound.
Yes.
Echo the sound.
Yes.
Bilhaq. Good job. Wa mallahu. Again, mallahu. Fatha plus lam. Mallahu heavily. Yuridu dhulman lil alamin. Tanween plus next letter is lam.
Dhulman.
Dhulman lil alamin. The next letter is Lam. Lam matches the Yarmalun letters, which says you have to apply the rule Idgham. Merge them, okay?
Without Ghunna.
Yeah, without Ghunna. Zulman lil'alameen. Right? Next ayah, Walillahi. Look, like Bismillahi. Billahi. ما في السماوات وما في الأرض آ sound, light sounds. Yes.
Yes.
Jim says
it's just to stop or
continue. It's jais, it's optional, you can stop or continue, that's it. وإلى الله, إلى الله, 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 heavy sound. تر, تر, را, heavy sound. تر جع الأمور, when you stop here, را, heavy sound. تفخيم الرا, that's it. Let's practice the recitation all together. Ready?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, please listen, inshallah, and practice so that you learn how to recite with tajweed rules. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق.
تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق.
وما الله يريد ظلما للعالمين.
وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
أحسنتم. ظُلْمًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. There is no tanween sound. Merge it with lam. That's what, that was perfect. MashaAllah. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ.
وللله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض
وإلى الله ترجع الأمور.
وإلى الله ترجع الأمور.
أمور. أحسنت ما شاء الله. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. That's it. ما شاء الله. ما شاء الله. So, Alhamdulillah, we finished this session. Make sure, inshallah, you practice well. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. Inshallah, see you in the next session. Stay with IRIB English Radio. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools, Networks and Brothers here. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Immersion in the virtual world.
Part 3.
searing graphic images, a cool and immersive universe where you are the hero. It's far from Mom and Dad's Pong, Tetris, and Super Mario. But today's video games are also about money. Lots of money. An industry that racks up $83 billion a year, according to some financial experts. That's more than the movies. To sell, what works is often used and abused. Sex and silly violence. It stands out in big box stores. The most numerous and visible games are not recommended if you are under 18 years old. In the world of psychopaths or even soldiers, the idea is to lick the enemy. No proof that violent video games make you a killer, but there is a but. Contrary to what many people think, they don't curb your frustrations.
That's wishful thinking, that you get your aggressive feelings out by playing games, because we find people get more aroused, not less aroused, and that they're thinking about aggression and they're acting aggressively and they're less empathic and they're less pro-social. So they're not draining off aggressive impulses. That's just not happening by game playing in terms of anything that we saw in the data.
Roland Nayev has been working in this school for 30 years and elected socialist for 20 years. For him, reality and fiction are increasingly intertwined, and he is convinced in certain cases that virtual violence may even lead to taking action.
Another friend referred to Adam as a shut-in. His mental health issues, combined with his military ambitions, his gaming habit, and a dramatic decline in any form of social interaction had caused the young man to withdraw further and further from reality. Even the shooting range was barely appealing.
Isolation, addiction to violent video games, mental vulnerability, poor parental support. The eye of a storm capable of destroying everything in its path due to one last risk factor. In this case, easy access to weapons.
And here's a boy that's not going out and doing anything but has access to an arsenal of weapons in his home because it's the thing he expressed interest in. And that's part of the parental appeasement. Oh, that's what you're interested in? That's the only thing you're interested in? Okay, we'll buy you more of those. That's not what he needed. He needed mental health treatment. He needed friends, he needed relationships, he needed his father, he needed his brother, and he didn't have any of that in his anymore.
Do I think Adam would have done this without the video games, if he didn't have access to all the violent images that he had? I don't know. I know tons of people play these video games, and they don't go out and commit mass killings. However, with somebody sick like him, and a situation where he had weapons in the house, was able to isolate himself with these video games, it's a big question. And I mean, I don't have the answer, but I wish we could go back and pull the plug on these games and see if maybe we had a different result.
Could one of the worst shootings ever have been prevented? We will never know. In Geneva's medical educational office, it's repeatedly stressed that violence is not something for everyone's eyes. Talking about vulnerability, it's not just mental problems. As a boy, Mike, for example, was bullied at school, a trauma that still marks him today.
You were bullied quite a bit.
Yes.
Right? Is there a link between the bullying and the safe haven, needing the safe haven to withdraw from this really difficult part of life?
Nowadays, I can't really say that's the case, but I think back then, that might have been a part of why it is that I started getting into violent FPSs and those sort of games. And when I got really, really into it, was at a difficult time where, you know, I just felt kind of helpless about all the stuff that happened in school. And, I suppose video games not only, you know, helped me kind of forget about that, it also, you know, gave me a sense of, yeah, in a way, a sense of control. Uh-huh. In a sense of, no, I don't think I can say that. I was going to say, I guess, a sense of revenge, but at the same time, I don't think that I was able to make, you know, that really sort of connection between the people that were online and the people that were the people at school.
But with hindsight, would you say it now, or?
Slightly, yes.
Slightly.
And what do you think about the fact of killing someone in a video game?
Well, I feel that that's definitely one of the things that I'm still very unclear about, and something that maybe I should be putting a bit more thought into, because it is something that interests me a lot. I'm really not so sure why exactly, but I do know that it can be very satisfying to kill someone in a video game. For me, I do think that it was positive reinforcement when I did start playing FPS during bullying, knowing that, you know, I was still good at something. I was still good at this one thing that I really liked, because, you know, I was very low in confidence.
But that one thing is kidding.
Yeah, it is. It's weird, isn't it?
It's important to say it again, the majority of players will not have these problems. But today, 90% of our youth play. That's enormous. In the face of scientific proof, with an even more immersive future, our inquiry actually leads us to the industry. What does it think? No big company wanted to talk to us about addiction or violence. In Switzerland, the only one to accept an interview is the head of their umbrella organization. Why are these games not recommended to minors and vulnerable individuals by the industry? It's in this prevention program, of which the SIEA is a partner, that we finally find some kind of response. Violent video games incite aggression? It's possible. They can, moreover, generate anger, agitation, irritability, anguish, and diminish empathy. Warning that we see nowhere else, prevention is essentially limited in Switzerland to the age recommendation and these pictograms. On the federal level, nothing prohibits the sale of plus 18 games to minors. The store decides. And it's not for not having tried. In 2008, this deputy and others already wanted to reinforce the legal basis for protecting minors. Yet their political actions haven't gone anywhere. The reply? The industry can regulate itself.
Industry, as I see it, is concerned about profits. So, you know, they're businesses. They're big businesses, and their interest is how can I maximize the amount of money that I'm going to make. And the games are made in such a way as to keep the players engaged, interested, focused for long periods of time.
Addiction, isolation, desensitization. Mike and his mother are now aware of it. Enjoy. Thinking about unwinding like this, tapping away endlessly, and in letting it happen, the trap snaps closed on them.
We didn't think about it all that much. It's just how we functioned, how we went on with life. And nowadays, I think that we're a lot more connected to each other, and we think a lot more, way more about these things, and we just know so much more.
A worrisome comparison that Christian shares. Today, these games are collecting dust, confronting him like the ultimate temptation.
We are with you. What about you?
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.